This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. Today's sermon is titled, Four Spiritual Habits of Highly Effective Christians, and was offered by Pastor Jeff Lamont. It was recorded on December 29th, 2019, and it's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
So, this morning, I want to share with you a message that, quite honestly, is a message that that I have shared many times before. It's one of the only messages that I feel compelled to almost share on a yearly basis. Normally, I try to bring you something new, and this will be new, believe me. It won't be like any other time I've preached it or brought it to you, but I feel that it is so absolutely significant and important as we position ourselves for a new year to really take some time and to think about how we're going to make the next year, 2020, better than this year. How do we do that? I don't think that happens by accident. I think that happens with advanced planning. I think that happens with real intentionality. I think it happens by making some commitments to some things I'm going to call habits that will absolutely, you and I, whether we realize it or not, we are all an accumulation of our habits. Now, for some of us, like myself at this point, I'm a bit overweight. I went on a hike just a couple of days ago with my son in the Great Smoky Mountain National Forest. Now, in September, I went on a really tough hike with Dr. Gary, and it was hard, but I made it, and it was amazing how my habits that had gotten me to the ability to hike Half Dome for 2 months, I'd let those habits slide. I'm struggling, and I made it, thank the Lord, and it was good, but I'm going, wow, it's amazing how just a couple of months of not exercising regularly, not eating healthy, can make a huge difference. And the older I get, the quicker it seems that I can lose ground on those things. How many of you can agree and understand what I'm talking about? So I want to talk about habits this morning. Everybody say habits. Because, yeah, we're really just a compilation of our habits. This next year, if I wanted to kind of predict what your next year is going to look like, the best thing that I could use to predict it would be just the knowledge of what your daily habits are. What do you do every day? What do you spend time on every day? What do you practice every day? See, one of my favorite sayings is that a champion does every day what others just do from time to time. If you've ever been around a high-level athlete or a really successful person, you find that they have a lot of habits they're very committed to. If they're an athlete, they're spending a lot of time practicing whatever that sport is, a lot of time. Some 6-8 hours a day just on that one skill, that one pursuit, that one passion or hobby or sport, whatever it may be. If they're a professional musician, they're playing the scales and they're practicing daily. Malcolm Gladwell came out with a thing a few years ago that to become a true expert in any one thing, it takes about 10,000 hours of practice toward that thing. If you've never taken your calculator and figured that out, that's a long time. That's a few hours a day for a long time, or a whole lot of hours a day for a pretty long time, to get to the level of being an expert at something. So we're all a compilation of our habits. And I want to talk about four spiritual habits of highly effective Christians today, because I don't think there's anything that you and I are going to do in this life that will ultimately be more important than our relationship with God. And I think we're living in a day and a time. I just... in a very prophetic sense, I've just felt really strong to bring this word to you today, because I've been preaching this message or one like it for really pretty much the whole history of the church. And then there's a sense right now that it's more needed maybe than ever. Because here's what I sense. I sense we're living in a day and a time, and this has just crept up on us, where distraction is so great that most of us don't even realize that we're having a harder and harder time giving our attention to something that is worthy. Now, I'll illustrate it like this. There's a recent scientific survey that came out, and I think you're going to be shocked to hear what they found. The average attention span right now of the average American is down to 8 seconds. Now, before you might, yeah, I don't think anybody's doing this, but before you go, well, that ain't too bad, is it, Pastor Jeff? Let me just tell you, the average attention span of a goldfish is 9 seconds. So our attention span has gotten to the place where it's the least it's ever, ever been in history. So, and I know there are people who sincerely suffer with things like ADD, attention deficit disorder, but there's a very real sense in which culturally we're creating a culture full of people that we're all struggling to some degree with attention deficit disorder. And let me just say it like this. If you can't focus, if you can't really fully bring your attention before God, how are you ever going to encounter God? How are you ever going to experience God? How are you ever going to really hear His voice? It's in the secret place. It's in the quiet place. Blaise Pascal, the great philosopher from many years back, sit in a room quietly alone. And we're kind of there. Whether we realize it or not, I think the enemy's great, great strategy that's working with incredible effectiveness is simply to get us all so busy and so distracted that we no longer have time for God. We no longer can even encounter Him. We can't even hear His voice. We're just constantly surrounded by noise. And we've come to the place where we're comfortable with that and uncomfortable with silence. Have you tried lately to sit in a room alone quietly? What happens to your mind? It probably races and goes crazy and comes up with all kinds of things. And man, you could really come up with a to-do list if you even tried it for a few minutes, because your mind just starts filling with all kinds of thoughts. We go home to quote-unquote relax, and what is the first thing we do? We either look to our phone, or we look to the TV, or we turn on something, or we're sitting at the computer, and we become a generation that is just epidemically distracted to the place that, can God get through to us anymore? And to me, this is really, really important stuff. Stuff that we've got to really take some time and wrestle with. I was telling my wife this morning, and this is just by way of confession to you from my own perspective. There's things that I know to do that my heart resonates with and wants to do that I have a really difficult time actually doing. And my real growth area is that gap that exists in my life between the things that I really want to do. I really have a heart to do them. I'm inclined to do them. I desire to do them. But in reality, I struggle doing them. It's that gap that needs to close in my own life. I can, you know, my kids, they tire of dad talking about the iPhone again. Dad, don't talk about that again. Dad, you're constantly talking about the iPhone and all this stuff. And, you know, I was one of the early adapters. I got on this train early on. I had a visor. Anybody remember a visor? You guys don't even remember a visor. I mean, it was like the earliest thing, like a smartphone. And then it became the Palm Pilot. And then it became, you know, it just kept graduating up. And I bought in right from the beginning. I'm like, wow, these things are really handy. They're really helpful. And now I'm at the point where I'm going, that might have been the worst decision I ever made. Maybe I really didn't need a smartphone. Maybe what I needed was a dumb phone. I don't even know what that is exactly, but the smartphone has outsmarted me. Let me just tell you, here's the stats, right? And I got mine right here. I use it every Sunday morning for my timer. Boy, they're helpful, aren't they? Multi-purpose tools. The average iPhone user, listen to this. This is the average iPhone user. Touches their phone 2,617 times a day. The average iPhone user has 75 events with their phone a day. Now, they touch it 2,617 times, but that doesn't mean that they pull stuff up and start looking at stuff and yada, yada. But they have about 75 events a day, which means 75 different times something catches their attention. They end up spending a little bit of time on it. And now I think the average amount of time, how many of you, the iPhone's got this new thing now, which I'm really happy they did this. But at the end of the week, you get this little update that tells you how much time you've spent on your phone throughout the week. How many of you ever get that or see that? Yeah, me too. And now let me get a little more honest. How many of you are shocked when you see it? Yeah, I look at that and I go, I got a wife, I got a family, I've got a job to do. Did I really spend that much time on my phone? I'm going, evidently I don't have a wife and a job and a family. Evidently all I have is a smartphone. So how did I spend 4.5 hours a day on it? That's the average right now. It's about 4.5 hours a day on that phone. And the funny thing is, and this is just the way we kind of work as people, I don't know what it is, but, you know, I probably do this, and maybe you do this, or maybe you know somebody that does this. If you don't know anybody that does it, then maybe it's you, you know? I always like to kind of throw that in. But, you know, we'll say stuff like, man, I wish I had time to do this. Boy, I wish I had more time for this. Well, you know, I just didn't have time to get around to that. And it's funny, isn't it? Because evidently we have time for other things. But I don't know how that all gets clouded in our minds. Psalm 16:8. Let me read this scripture to you. I have set the Lord always before me. I have set the Lord always before me. There's our goal. That ought to be what we are pursuing. But I'll be honest, if I'm giving you my message translation, it seems more like I have set the phone always before me. Yeah, I saw this interesting, I think it was a Dateline show here quite some time back. It was very interesting where they set up these interviews, and it was with like a professional corporation, big corporation, and they were interviewing people for a pretty significant position, and it was all a setup, but the interviewees didn't realize that, didn't know that, and they had, or actually the interviewees did, the interviewers didn't know this. That's what it was. Forgive me for mixing that up. But the first set of interviewees came in, and they got their phones out in the midst of the interview. And even if they just sat them there in front of them in the interview, the professional people in the corporation knew that was a sign of not good things. And on both occasions, when they asked them, how'd the interviewee do? Well, not so good. Probably not a person that we'd want to hire. They had, you know, another set of interviewees who came in and kept their phones in their pockets and never brought them out, gave the exact same answers, had the exact same kind of personalities. How'd they do on the interview? Oh, they were excellent candidates. We'd hire them in a minute. They're the kind of people we want in our corporation. The only difference was whether or not they were distracted by this thing. I used to visit my grandmother. I love my grandmother a lot. She was an amazing lady. And I remember times I'd go to see her, and I was really wanting time with her, and she'd have the TV on. This is long ago. My grandparents were the first people that I ever knew that had a big screen TV. And my grandfather loved boxing, so he got this big screen TV so he could watch the boxing matches a little more up close, you know. And I'd go and I'd want to spend time with my grandmother, but she had the TV on. And how many of you have ever had those kind of grandparents? They don't just have it on, they have it really loud. It's like really loud. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't hardly stand to be in the room. And you know, I'd always show up when I wanted to spend quality time with my grandmother. I'd always show up in the middle of one of her favorite shows. Of course, I think she had several favorite shows, evidently, because it really didn't matter. And I remember at times feeling cheated. I don't know, you know. I would try, you know, we'd maybe mute during the commercial. Maybe we could talk a little bit during the commercial. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because over the years, there's just become more and more of those type of distractions. It's not just TVs now. Now, you know, you go into a person's house, they've got a big, huge, beautiful Apple computer with the really cool screens, or, you know, we've all got, you know, the latest iPhone or whatever it is. There's just so many things competing. And if we can't bring our attention and sit before God, because we're so distracted, we've just gotten ourselves to the place we're so easily distracted, I think we're going to miss something that's of incredible value. I want to encourage you to consider some kind of media fast during the 21 days. Some kind of setting aside your phone. I know these are things we use for business too. I know you may have to check your email, that there's limitations. But would you consider, how many of you would consider that, at least with me, as some kind of part? I think you might find it really freeing and really helpful. I'm sorry? Yeah. My wife just said, you know, she's going to get really irritated. That's going to be costly for me. But, you know, I'm willing to. Oh, that's not what you said, honey. She said people will get irritated. That's what she said, not just her. So, anyway, yeah, you know. Anytime you deprive yourself of something you're so used to, it is tough. Hey, by the way, I don't know how many of you have read this, and I'm actually going to get to the message here in just a minute. But I don't know how many of you have actually read this, but there is a countercultural movement that's happening by the very developers of the primary social media sites, where they, who have invested all their time, energy, effort, money into developing these addictive, and that's what they are. I'm sorry if that offends you, but that's what they are. They have studied this kind of thing. By the way, one of the sources of their study was Las Vegas and gambling, and how a person gets addicted to gambling habits and what it takes. And did you know that more money is generated through slot machines than professional sports. It's an unbelievable amount of money, and slot machines are incredibly addictive because they give you regular, consistent little dopamine hits. And that's the same people that designed your smartphone and the social media outlets have 607 to create a scenario where when you pick this thing up 2,617 times a day, you're going to get some little dopamine hits. Your little dopamine hits. And I'm not preaching against gambling today. You know, maybe if you go in and play a slot machine for 5 minutes, that maybe that's not a bad thing. I'm not trying to make a statement about that today. But here's what's interesting. You were never designed to pull the lever of a slot machine all day long. And that's kind of what's happening here. You've got a slot machine in your hands that you're pulling all day long, getting a little, oh, look who liked that. They liked it that I ate that burger. Yeah, they wish they had a burger like that. I mean, you know, craziest stuff, right? But we you know, oh, they like that quippy little thing I said that I came up with, you know, that fun little statement I made. I mean, it's dopamine, and we get addicted to it. All right. 4 spiritual habits of highly effective people. I love this scripture, 1 Timothy 4:7. Take the time and the trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. Here's what's interesting. Paul's always using these analogies about the Christian life, and he oftentimes correlates it with athleticism and athletic contests. And it's interesting because a lot of times, in fact, some versions of this verse will use the word discipline. And the word discipline is really where we kind of get the word asceticism. Asceticism became a part of the church probably 300-400, somewhere around there, where people were realizing they had to flee from the world. They had to start. In fact, the word discipline kind of connotates an athletic pursuit of God, the training regimen of an athlete. This is what Paul's trying to convey here. If you're going to be strong spiritually, you're going to have to be disciplined. You're going to have to go into a training regimen. You're going to have to deny yourself some things in order to really pursue and take hold of God. And I think today, if we don't start realizing that our spiritual lives just can't be another attachment to our life, another area of our life. It's got to be the main pursuit of our life. Everything else should flow out from that center. This has got to be our main. Yeah, you know, going to the gym, that's a good thing. But keeping yourself spiritually fit, in fact, Paul says that in this very verse. There's some benefit to physical exercise. There's great benefit to being spiritually alive and effective and disciplined, trained. So let me just throw 4 things out to you, and I'm going to have a hard time getting to them because I got a lot of other stuff I want to share with you. These are some questions that I shared with my staff just a week or so ago when we were praying together over the new year. Who does God want you to be, but you have not yet become? I want you to wrestle with that a little bit as you're moving into 2020. In fact, some of you need to write this down in your little note page inside your bulletin. Who's God want you to be, but you've not yet become? See, if you're honest and if I'm honest, I'm a work in progress. God's still working on me. I have not become everything he wants me to be, but he's at work. Do you see how he's leading you to a greater place, become someone that's even more fruitful, even more effective for him? What does he want you to accomplish? What does God want you to accomplish with your life? What are the big themes that God seems to have for you? Have you ever thought like that? What are the themes? What in 2020, what are the themes? If I'm to put it in a few words, what are the things God's wanting to do in me? And what are the needs of the kingdom that God designed for you next year? 4 great questions. Let me give you 10 more that I hand out oftentimes to you at the beginning of the year. And I wanted to go over with them with you this morning. I hope you can see them, probably just on the big screen. What's one thing you could do this year to increase your enjoyment of God? What's the most humanly impossible thing that you'll ask God to do this year? That's about praying big, right? What's the single most important thing you could do to improve the quality of your family life this year? In which spiritual discipline do you want to make progress this year, and what will you do about it? What's the single biggest time waster in your life, and what will you do about it this year? What's the most helpful new way you could strengthen your church? I like that one. For whose salvation will you pray most fervently this year? Number 8, what's the most important way you will, by God's grace, try to make this year different from last year? Number 9, what one thing could you do to improve your prayer life this year? What single thing that you plan to do this year will matter the most in 10 years? How about in eternity? Great questions for you and I to think through. Let me give you 4 quick habits. Have time with God every day. Have time with God every day. You're always going to find this a consistent theme here at New Song. We're all about this because we believe, quite honestly, this is the most important thing you can do. The reason, get direction from God. The routine, get alone with God every day. The result, it'll make you more effective. I ran across this little video clip. I want you to see it because I think it's going to absolutely wow you just like it did me. Check this out. This is John Bevere interviewing Scott Lindsay from Logos Bible Software, the best Bible software that's out there. I'm a user of that. And they just did a huge... study. I want you to hear this. Check it out.
There was a recent study by the Center for Bible Engagement where they pulled 40,000 general population in the U.S. from 8 to 80, and they just wanted to see how we are engaging with Scripture.
Right.
And they discovered something that actually became kind of the profound discovery of the entire study. They weren't even looking for this, and this is kind of became the highlight of the study.
Right.
When we're in the Scripture one time a week, and that could be church on Sunday, that's pastor saying you open your Bible, we hear the message, one time a week had negligible effect on some key areas of your life. So I'm going to spell that out more here in a moment. 2 times a week, negligible effect. Now at 3 times a week, there was a blip on the map, like there was a heartbeat. Something happened, again, a heartbeat.
Okay.
But here was a profound discovery. When we're in the Scripture 4 times a week, it literally spikes off the chart. You would expect that it'd be 1, 2, 3. I mean, there'd be a gradual incline on the effect and impact that would have in your life, but it was literally 1, 2, 3, 4. Something radically happens.
Okay, you got my curiosity.
To this extent.
What kind of behavior is being affected?
Feeling lonely drops 30%.
Wow. Four times a week in the Bible.
4 times a week in the Bible.
Okay.
Anger issues drop 32%. Bitterness in relationships, marriage, a relationship with your kids, and so on, drops 40%. Alcoholism drops 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant. You know, if there was one area when I'm talking with people that they'll be honest about is they just feel spiritually stagnant. Ask them the question, how much time are you spending in Scripture? If they're in the Scripture 4 times a week or more, it drops 60%.
Wow.
Viewing pornography drops 61%.
That's very important.
Now, on a flip positive side, sharing your faith jumps 200%.
Wow.
Because you have a confidence in God's word. And then discipling others jumps 230%.
That's amazing right there.
What do you guys think? Was that eye-opening? Was that encouraging? Was that kind of a wow moment for you like it was for me? This is why I'm always going to be, every time, because I want to be a faithful, good pastor to you. And I know there's nothing that I can encourage you to do that will affect you and influence you and help you and encourage you, strengthen you better than just getting you in God's word on a daily basis, spending some time with him in prayer, spending time with him every day. That will make the biggest difference in your life. So please, and we'll talk more about it in the weeks to come because we're running out of time, but there's lots of ways. There's the YouVersion, We track together through the Bible, through the one-year Bible. Many of us read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation together. We do a portion in the Old Testament, a portion in the New Testament, a portion of Psalms, and a portion of Proverbs from the one-year Bible. We read it together through the year. It makes for such great opportunities for conversation over the dinner table, over coffee, and it helps us track together. It helps us be accountable together. It's life-giving, and it means that you're in His Word 7 days a week. If 4 days makes that kind of difference, you imagine what it's like if we all could commit to being in God's Word 7 days a week, in taking His living Word that absolutely transforms and makes us more into His image and likeness, renews our minds so that we're not being held captive. Real quick, sure that we're in. I mean, this is so important, you guys. I'm just going to run through the rest real quick. Here we go. Give a tithe to God every week. The reason draws you closer to God. The routine is on the first day of every week or when you get paid. The results, incredible blessings. Number three, fellowship with other believers regularly. Be in a small group. The reasons to be encouraged. The routine is as often as you can. The result, you will become more effectively. And last, share the good news often. Good news is meant to be shared. The routine, share as you go. The result, lives will be changed. So would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me for a moment? Lord, I just pray right now for every one of us here in this house that, Lord, we'd start making some changes. Because if we're going to step into a new day and experience a new way, it's going to require us to live differently, to learn differently, to love differently. It's going to require some change, Lord. If we're not satisfied with where we are right now spiritually, it's going to require change. If we feel stagnant, if we're not progressing, it's going to require change. And sometimes change is frightening. Sometimes change scares us. But Lord, help us to change for the better. Help us to become more and more of who You've called us to be. You have a plan and a purpose for every single person here this morning, every person that's sitting here today. You want 2020 to be a rich and fruitful and blessed year for each of them. But Lord, we'll find that at Your feet as we listen for Your voice, as we give our attention to You, as we escape from the cycle of hurry, and as we wait before You, 15 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day, maybe an hour a day, I don't know. However long God is leading you, will you make that commitment? That'll be the best commitment you make for the year. So Lord, help us, help each and every one of us. Holy Spirit, speak to each of us individually. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you this morning? For some of you, it may be that you need to commit your heart to Christ. Maybe you haven't done that. For some, it's maybe you need to recommit your heart to Christ. Listen, for some, it's maybe you need to change some habits. But would you listen? And would you allow the Lord to do what He wants to do in you in this new year? In Jesus' name, amen. Can you give the Lord praise today? I know it was really hard to have you sit here for a good half hour while all that chili was just emanating through the room. I think the ring of fire was about to eat a hole through my nostril up here. It was just smelling that ring of fire back there. I can't wait to get back there. Hey, you're all invited. We're going to probably clear out this section, set some tables up, and please stay, hang around, get to know us. Enjoy a bowl of chili or two. It's going to be delicious. Won't you stand with me? And let's pray. Lord, go with us now and let our lives count for You. And God, help us to press in and realize a blessed and fruitful 2020. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. You're dismissed.